Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The epistle lesson from James today reminds us of how we have become Christians. By the will of God, through the word of truth. That it was his doing that we are of Christ, not ours. And that the word of truth came by the spirit of truth along with the waters of rebirth and regeneration, so says the scriptures. So as God's own children, born of him through the power of the word, we can hear this morning and put into action what the Spirit spoke through James. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and all rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. The implanted word. That is what you are hearing this day. That is what keeps your faith alive and trusting in Christ. Being slow to hear, or quick to speak, or quick to anger, practicing filthiness or wretched wickedness, well, these fight against the implanted word, trying to drive the word from you. James is right to commend godliness. And as you hear this morning, take heed to his wise words, for they are not the words of a mere man, but the Spirit of truth, who guides all Christians into truth, the Spirit of truth who gives witness to Christ, that the Holy Spirit's work will always glorify Jesus. And if Jesus is not praised by it, it is not the Spirit at work. The gospel lesson from John. The disciples on Maundy Thursday are sad. Their teacher, Jesus, the one who had been with them in the close fellowship with these past 3 years, has just told them he is going away. Not only this, but as the events of Maundy Thursday would unfold, of course, their sadness would increase in earthly terms as the method of Christ going away became very real to them. Arrest, mockery, trial, torture, and yes, crucifixion and death. Sadness. So sad they didn't want to ask Jesus about anything more. But Christ has comfort to give to those who sorrow, to those who are filled with grief. And so Christ teaches. He teaches the very heart of our faith in our lesson today. But he first confirms them in some of the promises that he makes. If Christ goes away from them, he says, their lives will be much better later. It is to their advantage that he goes away. He goes back to the Father. When Christ indeed does go back to the Father, this includes the arrest, trial, crucifixion, death, resurrection, and finally the ascension of our Lord. It is better for the disciples than if he would have just stayed with them. For as we have heard before, Christ in his resurrection is exalted, no longer refraining from using his divine power and authority that he had had from all eternity, but he is at the resurrection fully using that divine authority as he sees fit, even in his flesh. Not only that, but at his ascension, he sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God who glorifies the Son and who takes what is the Son's, that is to say, what is the Father's as well, and gives it to the church on earth. That the whole Trinity is mentioned again today in our text, that God should be praised for this revelation. The work of the Spirit will be to testify, to give testimony or witness to Christ, That this is shown in the task that Jesus speaks of him doing, convicting the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Each of these convictions is actually going to bring Christian great comfort. It will bring you great comfort this day and for all the days yet to come. The Spirit will convict the world of sin. Not just those crass outward sins that are so evident in the world as it shows itself to those who are in it. Now, Jesus zeroes in here on the main sin, the root of all sin, unbelief. The world's unbelief of Jesus is what the Spirit is out to convict. And this is because without faith in Jesus, there is no remedy for sin. Whether the sin of unbelief, the sin inherited from Adam, or the sin we commit each moment of the day. No faith, no forgiveness of sins. The world, it will come up with all kinds of ways to make right what is wrong, even by redefining what is right or what is wrong. But that all is nothing when put in the light of belief in Christ or the darkness of unbelief. All the moral works of the world and every unbeliever will amount to a pile of nothing, because there was no faith in Christ to make them truly good and godly works. No, even the best works of the world are sin. That there is no way, no single way without faith in Jesus to remedy the sinful fingerprint that smears the finish of every single work of the world. The Spirit convicts the world through this kind of preaching. Nothing you do, no spirituality, no matter how pious it might appear, no heap of your own self-chosen works, none of that means anything without faith in Jesus. It cannot gain you heaven. Unbelief makes everything the world does a curse. The Spirit convicts the world of righteousness, Jesus says. That this is the heart and core of Christianity. If there is so much sin, then where can a man find the rightness with God that is needed for eternal bliss? If mankind cannot produce such righteousness that avails before God in heaven, what can man do? Nothing in terms of righteousness. No, sin's smear is always still there. So where does the righteousness that we need come from? The world again will strive to present all kinds of works, all kinds of other spiritualities, new and moral codes, strange universalistic notions that everyone just gets to go to heaven no matter what. That those notions, those spiritualities and those works, they do not and they will not lead to eternal life. They do not have the righteousness needed for heaven. No, the only righteousness that avails before God in heaven, the only righteousness that leads to eternal life, is that righteousness earned by Christ Jesus, our Lord. And the only way that righteousness becomes the eternal possession of a man is when he believes in Christ, when he trusts in Christ for righteousness, when he trusts in Christ for forgiveness of all his sins, when he trusts in him for heaven and for each and every blessing. And the righteousness of Christ that he provides, it is complete. Just as he said, it is finished. It is the righteousness earned by his active and passive obedience, both doing all that the law of God commanded, but also suffering the just punishment of God upon sinners in their place. That by this holy work of his, perfect righteousness is achieved. And then by his grace and his mercy, it is bestowed as a gift upon those who believe. That by believing, you have life, you have righteousness, you have exactly what Jesus did. Do you see and hear the comfort so far? The Spirit convicts the world of these things, but you are not of the world anymore. Sin is far from you. You have forgiveness of sin. No matter what the world does, it receives by unbelief the verdict of guilty. No matter what pile of sins you have collected, by believing in Jesus, the verdict is innocent. That this is because you as a believer are not going to be standing before God at judgment with your arms full of your own fake works and your false spiritualities like the world. No, you will stand there with the perfect and complete righteousness of Christ as your own possession. That there is not a change that in eternity, there is not a charge in eternity that can be leveled against a believer in Jesus. Because Jesus' perfect work becomes the believer's work. The righteousness of the believer is Christ's perfect righteousness. That Christ Jesus told the disciples that things were going to be better if he went away. And this is exactly what he means. The comfort of his completed work would be so far from us had he not returned to the Father. And then sent the Spirit of truth to guide us into this truth. This then leaves the last task of the Spirit by Jesus' own description. He, the Spirit, will convict the world concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. You see, the world wants to pass all kinds of judgment on Christians and upon the church. It's part of the sinful world's corrupt and mutated DNA, so to speak, to accuse God and the people of God. Because at the end, it all comes from this ruler of the world, whose name actually means accuser, Satan. And so the world is in constant refrain in judgment over the church and over Christians and over you. You know this. The world cannot stand the conviction of sin, the conviction of righteousness that is done by the Spirit, and so the world lashes back at Christians with judgment. But here's the problem with this. It may seem harsh as it is happening, but as time is running close to the day, that is the last day, the world's judgment will be shown as the absolute empty and junior high level kangaroo court as it really is. The ruler of this world is judged. Jesus defeated the devil at Calvary. At the place of the skull of the ancient serpent was crushed. His power of judgment has been removed. Sin is forgiven. Condemnation has been wiped into non-existence, and salvation has been given by the blood of Jesus. That the devil has been rendered to have no tongue or voice when it comes to the true judgment of God at the last. That the day is coming when all the judgment of the world will be shown in open spectacle as frail words of a defeated foe that is on its way to eternal death. that those words will have no binding force over the Christian, over the believer in Jesus, that they will have less binding force over you right now than the air that surrounds your body, that the world's judgment on that judgment day will not even be found in the courtroom, but instead it will be like some guy holding a sign across the street uttering gibberish when compared to the true and just judgment of God, the God created you, redeemed you by the blood of his Son, and sanctified you by his Holy Spirit. This is the absolute comfort of these things. Christ went back to the Father, and by doing so, he has given you his Spirit. Your sins are forgiven. Your righteousness has been perfectly accomplished by Jesus and has been given freely to you. Your judgment, innocent by the blood of Jesus. That the world will die in its sin because it doesn't believe in Jesus. The world's righteousness is filth and will not gain even a glimpse of heavenly ground. And the world's judgment, well, it's an empty use of words and air when it's spent on believers in Jesus. You have forgiveness, you have righteousness, and you have salvation. That this is all because of Jesus, as the Spirit gives witness to the work of Jesus in going back to the Father. That this is because of the work of the Spirit who made you a Christian and who keeps you a Christian. The Spirit who saw fit to make sure that you receive the implanted word that brings life in your baptism. That you receive it in your hearing with ears that can hear. That you even today are once again reminded of your salvation, safe and secure in the finished work of Jesus and the firm promises that Jesus has given. Alleluia, Christ is risen.